written on the board part of a scripture. We'll read it here in a moment. It says, the wages of sin, dot, 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 dot.
Yes.
That means there's more to that statement. But this morning I have a question to ask you. I've, on the job, been going through some training, safety training, and it's rather extensive. I've never worked for a company like this before where they are so adamant and so focused on safety training. That is for physical safety, that no one get harmed on the job, but more importantly, that no one gets harmed at home. They've done studies, and it's proven that about 95 to 98% of the injuries that anyone encounters takes place at home. Only a small percentage takes place on the job. So they're really into the safety training. And I've been amazed at how, I mean, thousands of dollars that these folks, that this large corporation spend weekly just on safety training and safety alertness and all this. And I've been so impressed with that. And it's made me more cautious. It's reminded me, it's shaken me up a little bit. They'll sometimes show some video clips or they'll give some personal testimonies of people that have been interviewed and the injuries they've received just because of simple complacency or from fatigue or from rushing or you know, doing something too hurriedly, quickly. Well, you know, I've pondered on that and I've thought, you know, they put so much work, so much money, so much effort into this about just your physical safety. But I'm thinking, oh Lord, if the world would put that much emphasis on our soul safety, then we would be saved from sin, saved from a devil's hell. But no, the world doesn't promote that. The world promotes recklessness for your soul out there. You look at, we'll just take for example Hollywood. They glorify, they gratify the sins, and you revel in the sins out there, and this is all the glory and the fame and the honor and all these things that you'll receive. That's the wages of sin, you see, because the end of that story, there's more to it. The wages of sin, and as we read in the scripture, Romans 6:23 says, for the wages of sin is death. There's more to that scripture too, but we're going to stop right there and focus on that. So the question I have to you this morning is, how many times have you seen something maybe at a distance? Whether it's a car wreck fixing to take place, or whether it's someone up on a tall ladder and they're teetering back and forth, but you're too far away to do anything about it. All you can do is say, be careful, or if you're driving down the road, you just kind of wince and you know what's going to happen. And sure enough, boom, a car wreck. Somebody may be injured, somebody may be killed, or someone is falling off a ladder, but you're too far away, and you kind of run, and you want to help, but they fall, and they break a leg, or they break an arm, and you're like, oh no, I wish I could have done something. I want to tell you something this morning. There is something we can do. First of all, we can, oh Lord, help our own souls. That we not get caught in the wages of sin. That we not get caught up in what the world promotes. That, well, this is what you're going to receive. This fame, this honor, this glory, these pleasures, this instant happiness and gratification. It's so wonderful. Oh Lord, help us not to get caught up in that. Because the end of that thing is sin. The end of that thing is death. Well, but then there's also something else we can do. We can warn those that are around us. You can say, oh, and you see someone headed down the rocky path, someone headed down this slippery slope, down into the clutches of sin. You're like, oh no, I wish, and you do what you can. You pray, you warn. Oh Lord, help us that we be saved from the wages of sin, as in death. Oh Lord, help us to reach out to this lost and dying world, that there is hope. There is a better way. You don't have to suffer. But we're fixing to read about here in a little bit. We're going to read about the story of Lot. You see, the scripture says the wages of sin is death. That death sometimes does not take place instantly. It may take months. It may take years. It may take a lifetime. You realize the devil will work a lifetime just to steal somebody's soul right at the last. Just to get him. He'll work a lifetime to get him. And it may look like everything is just fine. They may have deceived themselves and deceived everyone else around them and lived a hypocrite their whole life. And the devil's saying, yes, I got him. And at the very end, it looks like everything is okay. But the end of that, because it's been a life of sin, is death. Okay? So it may be a lifetime of that. Well, let's consider here for a moment. The wages of sin is death. Well, what is sin? Well, it can be defined in many ways. I do want to read a scripture in 1 John 3 and 4. We'll just lay a quick foundation here. Sin, according to this scripture, is whosoever committeth sin transgresseth also the law. For sin is a transgression of the law. Yeah. So basically, breaking God's law. What are God's commandments in the scriptures? Well, we know the Ten Commandments. That's a beginning. That's a foundation. But it goes on far above and beyond that. That was when Jesus came. He said, I came to bring you a new law to fulfill the old law. And he's saying, not only, let's not live an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth, but that you would love one another. Yeah. And it goes beyond that, that just not just going out and committing outright sin and adultery with the woman, but just to look upon her and lust after her, yeah, committeth adultery in his heart. So he's bringing it to another level. It gets down into the heart. And that's when we transgress the laws of God in our hearts. We are committing sin.
That's right.
And I want to remind us, the wages of sin, what you're going to get in return, all right? The payment, your paycheck, so to speak, from living a life of sin is death. Well, another scripture in James 4 and 17, it says, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. That's a sin of omission. In other words, you're going through life and you've heard the word of God. You've heard these laws. You've heard, you've been taught, you've been trained, and you know that I'm not supposed to do that. That is actually sin. That can lead to sin. And, oh Lord, help us here this morning. But if we turn the blind eye to say, well, no, it's really not for me. That's for so-and-so, or that's for someone over there. I don't have a weakness towards that. I'm strong enough. I can maintain myself. I'll be okay. No, it says, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. In other words, you can go on for a little while, and before long, you're going to deceive yourself. The devil's going to deceive you in thinking, well, this is okay. Well, you knew better at one time. What changed? Did the law change? Does God's word change? Does God's requirement change? No. We changed ourselves. The devil helped deceive us into thinking, well, it's okay now. It's all right. But you knew better. There was one day you knew better. Well, Lord help us. I want to tell another little story. You've heard the saying of going out and sowing your wild oats while you're young. You know what that means? Most of us do. It means go out and enjoy your life while you're young. that's what the world promotes. Do what feels good, what appeals to you. Just enjoy your life. Just throw yourself into it. And you'll be amazed what you can accomplish in life. Well, you'll be amazed what the devil can do to you. How he can entrap you. How he can start giving you these wages of sin being death. That before long, your life starts dying out. It looks like, oh, you're strong and young and you're vigorous and you're in a career and everything's going great. But inside, you're dying. You're deteriorating. Your soul is wasting away. And you're deceiving yourself. The further you go along, oh, no, it's okay now. And the devil has you deceived. Well, I want to tell you a quick little story. I've lived long enough now, I can say this. I've seen what sin can do to a person in their lifetime. Over 20 years ago, I had a childhood friend that we used to do things together. And at one point, he had a confession of salvation, and I believe enjoyed that. But there came a time when he started making some decisions. He started, as we're fixing to read here, some scriptures about Lot. He started pitching his tent towards Sodom.
Yeah.
And I had choices and decisions to make myself. But I watched the road that he's had to travel since then. And I remember him specifically saying, his father would give him some good advice. He'd say, "Now, son, you better not do this, and you better be careful about that." Because he, his father had lived a life and had seen what sin can do. And so he'd give his son some good advice. But the sad thing was, he was given this advice because of he remembered his past mistakes when he was young too. But he was trying to give this advice, some good solid counsel. "You better be careful, you better not do this, and you better watch what you're doing here." But I remember the words of this young man. What he told me and what he told his father was, "I want to figure it out for myself. I want to figure this thing out. Well, I don't, you know, that's okay for you, but I want to see what this is all about. I want to learn my own lessons of life." I'm like, okay. Well, 20 years later, fast forward, he has learned that the wages of sin is death. Oh, he's still alive, but within he's dead. And not only that, he's killed the love of some women in his life, some children he's had in his life. His parents, their hearts are broken. Now they're having to take care of his children. They're having to take care of his offspring. His parents are having to take care of their own grandchildren now. And their hearts are broken. And they're thinking, "Why didn't you listen?" Oh, he listened all right. But let it come in one ear and out the other. He wanted to enjoy life to its fullest. Oh, yes, he had some enjoyment, all right. And I remember him telling me some stories years later once he got entangled with sin and telling me all these things he was doing, all this and that and partying and all. I'm thinking, okay, well, you're having fun now, but I know where this leads. And sure enough, before long, he ended up in the pen. He wasn't paying child support. All these things, and I'm thinking, Lord, have mercy. It's like, again, you see the person teetering on this ladder and they're fixing to fall, like, "I wish I could help you." Don't you know you're supposed to hang on to something stable when you're up there on the ladder? But, oh, no, it's like they turn a blind eye. "Oh, no, I know what I'm doing." But the ladder's teetering like this, and before long, they're falling. I'm like, what can you do? Lord, help us. I want to read some scriptures in Genesis, the 13th chapter. 18th and 19th. We're going to skip through some of these just to get the story of Abraham and Lot. Remember when they took their separate courses, Abraham chose what was left over, basically. And Lot wanted that was good. But I want to read what happens here. We're going to kind of work this backwards in a sense. Sodom was a wicked place. Sodom and Gomorrah, a couple of cities there. In Genesis 13 and 13, it says, "But the men of Sodom were wicked and sinners before the Lord exceedingly." In chapter 18, verse 20, it says, "And the Lord said, because the cry of Sodom and Gomorrah is great, and because their sin is very grievous." In chapter 19 and 13, "For we will destroy this place because the cry of them is waxing great before the face of the Lord. And the Lord has sent us to destroy it." You see, even sinners that are caught in these traps of Satan, even they are crying out. Sometimes they're trapped so deep in sin, they don't know how to get out. And in despair, they're even crying warnings to their own loved ones. But they can't help themselves and they can't help them either. But they're crying. This is a death trap, is what they're trying to say. Then verse 24, chapter 19. "Then the Lord rained upon Sodom and upon Gomorrah brimstone and fire from the Lord out of heaven." It was as if they had gone so far that God is saying, "I'm just going to destroy them." You realize God wanted to do that in the days of Noah as well? God spared a family. Thank the Lord. Here's a similar case. But here it says he rained brimstone and fire from the Lord out of heaven. Do you realize to this day you can't find where Sodom and Gomorrah was? Oh, they speculate. They speculate. You realize if you look up what fire and brimstone is, it's a salt base. And Some speculate that Sodom and Gomorrah is in the bottom of the Dead Sea, or near it. And the Dead Sea is just a trapped body of water, salt water, lowest spot in the earth, and there's no life in it. Totally dead. The sea is 25% salt. No life. No life at all in this Dead Sea. So it's well named, the Dead Sea. But I think it's well fitting that Sodom and Gomorrah, that's exactly what became of that city. It was full of sin. The wages of sin is death. Yeah. Oh, these people were partying, they were carousing, they were having a great, wonderful time in the flesh. But it all came to an end one day. And they were warned, but they wouldn't hear. They turned a deaf ear to that. Well, in Deuteronomy 29 and 23, it says, "And that whole land thereof is brimstone and salt and burning, that it is not sown, nor beareth, nor grass groweth therein, like the overthrow of Sodom and Gomorrah, which the Lord overthrew in his anger and in his wrath." So emphasizing again, that's the end of sin, is death. And to this day, it's nothing but dead. Well, you realize Lot, he survived. Yes, he did. And his daughters. And for a moment, his wife survived the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah. But she paid the price as well. She went so far, she was delivered from, as I could say, she was probably drugged from Sodom and Gomorrah. Because the proof of that is, she got so far and it's like her heart was still attached to that was back there. And she turned around. And what happened? She became a pillar of salt. And to this day, that place is called Jebel Uzdom, which means the mountain of Sodom, where there is a significant rock salt formation near the city of Zoar. The point is, it's as if there's still a monument of her as well. As a reminder, the wages of sin is death. And here, Lot's wife, she had a chance. She was warned, flee from the cities. Well, she fled all right, but she turned around. Lord help us. Well, that's not the end of Lot. You realize he had some grandchildren? Yes, he himself was spared from Sodom. But I want to remind us, sometimes death can take place over a long period of time. You realize that Lot's life, yes, he lost his wife. He still had his daughters. But it was like a slow, agonizing death even after that of his family. They were still alive physically, but it was the spiritual death. They continued that downward, slippery slope into sin. Let's read on here. It says in Genesis, the 19th chapter, verse 37. I'm just skipping through several verses here. "And the firstborn bare a son." This is one of Lot's children. "The firstborn bare a son and called his name Moab, the same as the father of the Moabites unto this day." Yeah. Verse 38, "And the younger, she also bare a son and called his name Benami, the same as the father of the children of Ammon unto this day." So you see, Lot's descendants, his seed. You remember what Abraham's seed was promised, okay? But Lot's seed became the Moabites and the Ammonites, which were lifelong enemies of Abraham's seed. Isn't that amazing? It was as if the devil was saying, "I'm not through with this yet. I want to continue this trail of death, so to speak, and despair. That I'm going to get a hold of Lot's offspring. And I want to remind Lot of who he had the power of at one time." Because you remember, as I mentioned earlier, Lot pitched his tents towards Sodom. It wasn't like he was instantly transferred into this wicked city. But he saw what was beautiful, what looked attractive to him, the lush green grass over here, and just beyond that was Sodom and Gomorrah. Okay? He pitched his tents, and he didn't get there overnight. It was a series of years, a series of events. He kept moving closer and closer. And here's the thing. This city seemed attractive. Why? Because it brought security. It brought, there was entertainment there. There was a way you could make a lot of money and you could take it easy and you could do all these things that looked attractive to the flesh. But how many of us have heard that saying, the grass is always greener on the other side? That's what Lot was attracted to. That greener grass, that looks so good, and I want to enjoy this for a while. And he gets closer and closer, and before long, he's inside the walls. And then he's thinking, oh, this isn't so bad. It's okay. Deceiving himself, raising his family there. But it was a slow death. Lot did not realize the seeds that he was sowing in his daughter's hearts, because they never forgot what they enjoyed, okay, in Sodom and Gomorrah. And they later practiced the same thing, so to speak. And then you see their offspring, and then it was just one after the other. The Ammonites and the Moabites, like I mentioned earlier, became great enemies of God's people. A thorn in their side. And why? Because of one man, Lot. You realize that sends chills down my spine thinking, just what I do today, or what I do tomorrow, or what I don't do, the sin of omission. If I've been warned and I just turn the deaf ear and like, oh, that doesn't apply to me. And I go on living my life thinking, oh, it's okay, and I'm getting away with it. It looks like on the surface I'm getting away with things, but I'm sowing seeds in my children's hearts. They're thinking, oh, well, Daddy did that, or he didn't do that, and it's, well, he got away with it, so it's okay. But I want to tell you something. What I've learned just in my short lifetime, and these older brothers and sisters can verify this, that most of the time, children will take things another step further than what their parents do.
Yes.
That can be for the Lord, but most of the time, it's for the devil. It's for this trap. It's as if, well, mom and dad got away with this, so I can do it too. But the devil has this pull, just like it was with Lot's daughters and his grandchildren, that they took it a step further. All right? That's the natural tendency in the flesh.
Yeah.
So here we have a slow, agonizing death. Lot looking upon his children, his grandchildren, his great-grandchildren, at the same time looking upon Abraham and his family, thinking, wow, that is a blessed place to be. But to look at his own lineage, and it's just nothing but rottenness. And why was that? He pitched his tents towards Sodom. You could say it this way, to get down where we live, Lot lived a selfish life.
Oh.
It took these angels forcing him to get out of the city. He didn't want to leave. You realize sometimes God in His mercy, He'll send warnings our way. And sometimes He'll even give us a little nudge, trying to give us a little help. You need to get out of here. You need to stop what you're doing here. He may allow little trivial things, so to speak, where maybe we don't die physically, but He'll lie through divine providence and circumstances, allow things to happen in our lives to get our attention. I want to share just one that happened to me. I was 16 years old. I've shared this before. But God got my attention. I'd put in for salvation prior to that. I felt like I was living for the Lord, but I was allowing some things to get into my life and started taking over that territory. Started taking over my life again. And it was almost like I was fixing to get out of control. And I went on a little canoe trip with the young people down the river. And the end of the story was I tried to go swimming and I got caught in the undertow.
Oh.
And I went down. And I thought, oh no, I'm not coming back up. I came back up. I went down again. I came back up the second time. I'm like, oh my. But this third time, I felt myself going down. I'm like, I don't have any strength left. I could not feel the bottom. This undertow was at a bend in the river. I thought this was going to be it. And I went down the third time as if the Lord was speaking to me and my whole life flashed before me. All these things that I've been stowing away in my heart thinking, oh, no, it's okay. I can get away with that. And I want to tell you something. It was a slow death in my heart. The devil was taking over territories that I didn't think, wow, I started doing things and saying things and participating in things I never thought I would do. It was a slow death. But the Lord in His mercy sent this circumstance. And this third time as I'm going down, my whole life is flashing before me. I'm thinking, this is it. I'm not coming back up. And I'm not ready. I want to tell you something. God heard my prayer. As I was going down that third time, I said, oh Lord, if you can save me from this, I'll turn my life around. I made that promise and that covenant right there as I'm bubbling underneath the water. And some of my friends and cousins were up there, and only one of them realized that I was in desperate need. But there was nothing he could do. I saw him when I was going down that third time. He was jumping in towards me. I'm like, you're not going to make it. I'm like, I'm gone. I want to tell you something. God heard my prayer. And as I'm down there underneath the water, I could have easily got tangled up in the roots and everything and the branches. But thankfully, my foot found a little branch down there, a root. I was able to push up off of and free myself from this current and push away and up to the side of the bank. And the Lord saved me physically and spiritually again. I'm going to tell you something. I've never forgot that. It was a very somber moment there. I'm sitting on the edge of the bank, out of breath. And I'm thinking, what just happened? God saved me. And I'm going to tell you something. The rest of that canoe trip, I didn't hardly say a peep. I was just paddling and thinking, oh, Lord, thank you. And, oh, Lord, give me grace. I know I need to make some changes when I get back home. There's some business I need to take care of. Because I'm tired of the wages of sin, of what it was starting to do to my life. Starting to see the rebellion there where I didn't want to listen to Mom. I didn't want to listen to all this. No, I want to find... Let me tell you something. That's exactly what my friend was starting to do too. You see, we both came to a crossroads in our lives. And I'm thankful that it was God's mercies that sent that. That got my attention. That shook my inner being. Shook my soul. Oh no! Lord, have mercy. And the Lord saved me. I want to tell you something. The flip side of that, my young friend at the same time was making decisions as well. And his hasn't turned out so well. You see, the Scripture says in Galatians, the 6th chapter, in verse 7, be not deceived, God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh, that means being selfish, enjoying the things I want to do. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap what?
Corruption.
What is corruption? I want to tell you something. Something that's corrupt, think of a wound or a sore. Something that is corrupt is rotten. It's dying. Your flesh is dying. It's rotten and it stinks. And ultimately, if you don't take control of that, you will die physically. That's what corruption is. Well, corruption in the heart, of course, you'll die spiritually. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. Isn't that wonderful? And that's what I'm wanting to share here this morning is there is a way back. There is hope. And I want to tell you something, just as a warning, sin will, there's a song that says this, sin will take you farther than you want to go. And I want to tell you something, I've spoke to some that have experienced this life of sin and this slow death, agonizing death in their spirit and in their families and their lineage and everything. And it's just, and I've heard them say, oh, they regret.
Yes.
And with anguish, they tell stories of when God dealt with them and I should have heeded back then. I felt like God was talking to me then, but I rejected my parents' advice. I rejected this counsel over here and I continued down my own selfish path, pitching my tent towards Sodom, not realizing that I was soon going to be trapped. Well, I want to remind us again, if we do find ourselves trapped, there is a way back. You remember the story of the prodigal son?
Yeah.
You realize what he did?
Praise
the Lord. He sowed his wild oats, didn't he? He chose his own way.
Yeah.
Totally turned from everything that he had. Everything his father had provided. He had it made. But he rejected it. No, I want to go enjoy myself. Just for a little while. Well, sure, he enjoyed himself for a while. But where did that end up?
Yeah.
Feeding the pigs. And not only that, oh, he thought he was going to get a marvelous job and maybe a marvelous career in the city and had all this money that he got from his father's early inheritance. But he blew it all.
Yeah.
And in the end, he's feeding pigs. And to get a little further, he was so hungry, so poor, so desperate, he was willing to eat the pig slop himself.
Right.
Let me tell you something. That's corruption. That is rottenness in the heart. Getting so low, you get so desperate. Why do you think there's so much crime going on in our nation, in our world today? Because the sinners are so corrupt in their minds, they're warped, and they're treating everyone like animals. They don't care. We heard about that last night. Just treating them like animals. And I'm going to steal from you, and I'm going to kill you, and I'm going to take that, and I don't care because I'm desperate to live. I'm desperate to get another high. I'm desperate to have some more pleasure over here and to do this and do that. It's all about me. That's the corruption that's in the world today. That's the wages of sin. Oh, yeah, some might get thrown into prison, and that may spare them some, but it goes far above and beyond that. It's the inner being corrupted, rotten within. And it's the offspring. I'm going to tell you something. Just recently, speaking with the fellow I work with, it's actually a classmate of mine. Didn't realize he worked there. And I met him one day, and he started sharing. I could tell he was really down and in the dumps and depressed. And he starts sharing what's on his mind. He's like, man, you okay? And he's like, no. He starts telling me this sad story. He used to live with this girl for quite some time, several years. And they had a child together, a little daughter, cute little daughter. And she got up to be about 10, 11 years old. And they were living, everything was just fine. And all of a sudden, one day, his girlfriend disappears with their daughter. And he was heartbroken. For weeks, he's like searching. Where did she go? He had no idea where she went. In weeks, it's going on. And finally, he finds his girlfriend and his daughter. And they're way out on the West Coast. She ran off with another man. Let me tell you something. This young man, this classmate of mine, he's experiencing a slow death. He's dying within. His heart is broken. His heart is torn. Now he doesn't know if he's ever going to get to see his daughter again. Talk about agonizing. Talk about the wages of sin. That's the traps. I remember when we were in school, he was a good boy. He wasn't this party or carouser. He was a good boy. But he allowed sin to take control. And now he's living a life of misery. Every day I see him, he's just kind of moping around. Because he doesn't know when he'll see his little daughter again. No hope for the future. What does he have to hope for? I want to tell you something. There is hope. There is a way back. Well, remind us again, this prodigal son. All you have to do, as the prodigal son, he got so disgusted with the wages of sin. What did Satan pay him? Pig slop. What did Satan pay him? Discontent. He was not satisfied. He was sad. He was freed. He was heartbroken because he got to thinking, back at my father's house, how well and how good my brothers and the family must be doing. And he got the longing for that. He wanted to go back to, oh, if I could just smell that good food that mama's cooking. If I could just feel my cozy warm bed again. If I could just feel my father's arms around me again saying, it's okay, son. He got the longing for that. And before long, he had to duck his head, so to speak, and humble down and realize, you know what? I've made a failure of my life.
Yeah.
Why? Because I've given in to self. Just lived for myself and got sick of this pig slop. Okay? Well, but then he started his way back home. And you could say it this way. It was as if he was repenting in his heart. You see, that's what repentance is. You turn from the sin and you forsake it. All right? That's when you're repenting. You walk away from it. I don't want to have any more to do with that. I believe this young man started for home and never looked back. Saying, I'm tired of it. Unlike Lot's wife, she looked back. There was still part of her there. But she died. But this young man lived, and he lived to see his father again. He made it back home. Why? Because he forsook. He was so sick of, I don't want anything to do with that. And he's running home. And what did it say when he gets close to home? What was the father doing? This is so wonderful. The father wasn't minding his own business over here and just sitting over in the corner and saying, oh boy, and he's just, I want you to know. But no, his father knew. It's as if he sensed in his spirit that, and for maybe for days and weeks, he would stand out the end of the driveway, just looking out, longing, when's he coming back? Oh, I know, surely he's going to come. And he's sitting there and he's praying and he's weeping and, oh, Lord. And sure enough, one day he sees this little image way down at the end of the driveway. That looks like my son. And sure enough, his son had come home. His son had found the refuge he had so desired. He found the security of coming back home and being forgiven of it. And what did his father do? Did he scold him? Did he reprimand him and beat him over the head and say, you need to stay outside for a few weeks because of all that you've done. You need to sleep out in the, under the stars. No. He welcomed him with open arms and threw a party for him. Yeah. So glad to see his son back. I want to tell you something. That's how the Lord looks upon us. That day when I was 16 years old on that canoe trip, that's the way I felt. I was back in the Lord's arms. Oh, what a comfort it was to realize, you know what? I'm tired of running. I'm tired of rebelling. I'm tired of rejecting. And when I finally accepted that again into my life, I felt so happy. I felt so contented. All those things just started falling by. The things I used to do and all. I'm like, that's nothing. I don't even appetize me. I want more of the Lord. I want more of this peace. I want more of this satisfaction. I want more of this true joy in my life.
Amen.
I want to tell you something this morning. The Lord is still offering that. If you found yourself trapped in sin and you think there's no way out, I want to tell you something. There is hope. There is a way out, because what's the rest of the scripture say in Romans 6:23? But the gift of God is eternal life through your own strength, through your own ways. No, through Jesus Christ, our Lord. That's what paved the way for you and I to make it back to the Lord is through Jesus Christ. Why? Because he suffered on this earth. He knew what it was like to be tempted. He knew what it was like to be sad. He knew what it was like to be a human. It's the perfect sacrifice for you and I. Live this life and experience it. And then he's ascended on the right hand of the throne of God. And now he's making intercession for the Father, saying, Father, I know what it's like to be sad. I know what it's like to feel rejection. I know what it's like to feel those things. So, oh, Father, have mercy upon him. Help him. He's just a poor, hopeless, lost child down there. And it's Jesus is interceding for us at the right hand of the throne of God. And the Lord's saying, yes, I'll rescue him. But the condition is, turn to repent. That's what it means to get saved. That means I'm going to repent of all the laws that I've transgressed, all the laws that I've broken of God's. And I want to repent and turn from those ways and come running back to God, leaving those things behind, just like the prodigal son. And the Lord will welcome us back in his arms and give us the gift of God. That is salvation. That he can save us right now, right where we're at. And ultimately, if we continue to follow him, he'll save us at the end of time, at the judgment day, when he can say, well done, thy good and faithful servant. Welcome to my home. Welcome to my kingdom. Enter into everlasting peace, everlasting rest, into my haven of rest, into heaven. Isn't that what we all want for ourselves and for our loved ones? But we have to take the first step. We can't take it for anyone else. And it comes one of these things, I can only imagine Lot and all his descendants. I can only imagine the grief that he was experiencing. I want to tell you something. The Lord made a way for Lot to make it back too. And the Lord still made a way for his descendants. And true, the Moabites and the Ammonites for years, centuries, continue to be a thorn in the flesh of God's people. But there came a day when Jesus came on the scene that the way of salvation was open to more than just the Jews. He made it open to all the Gentiles. That's you and I. I'm not Jewish in the physical sense, but I want to tell you something. I'm a Gentile. But the Lord made a way that I can make it back to the Father. And he'll accept me just as his son. All right? Isn't that everything he has can be mine? Isn't that wonderful? Isn't that we have this hope. We have this. We don't have to endure the wages of sin. No. We don't have to follow that process and to die. Ultimately die and lose our soul in the devil's hell. But we can live forever with our Heavenly Father if we but repent and forsake of our sins. You pray for me that I will be faithful to the Lord and make it to heaven myself.